to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 13th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Well, let's give a thought to poor Abram today. Abram, who met God when he was living in the land of Ur, in the Chaldees, had never known God before. And God said, "Come, Abram, and follow me." And Abram said, "Great, where are we going?" And God said, "Be patient, I'll show you." And he went on, and I urge you sometime to read this whole story. I'm amazed they haven't made a movie out of it. There's some fun stuff, like Abram pretending that his wife Sarah is his sister so she can be in the harem of the Pharaoh in Egypt. I mean, it was a wild story. And they wandered for years and years and years. And God had said, "If you follow me, I'm going to make you a great nation." And Abram was like, "Great. And when is that going to happen?" And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. Year after year after year after year. And in our Old Testament lesson today, it still hasn't happened. And God shows up in a vision, and I'm sure Abram's thinking, "Yeah, God, are you for real? Because I followed you and I thought we had a deal. I was going to follow you and you were going to make me a great nation, and it's not happening," right? I'm sure there was some real doubt there. And so God shows up in this very eerie and spooky story. He shows up and he reestablishes this promise. He says, "Abram, don't worry about it. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be as numerous as the sand and the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky." And I'm sure Abram's like, "Okay." And then the Bible says that Abram believed the Lord. Now think about this. He had no reason to believe the Lord. And then the Lord shows up and seals the covenant. Now, how many of you have made a contract, signed a contract in your life? Anybody here signed a contract? It's hard to get through life without a contract. I just want to say here now, I'm grateful that we have a different way of doing contracts today. Imagine your typical law office if every contract involved taking about 6 big animals, cutting them in half, and spreading them apart. And then you would walk through them, because in Hebrew the word is not sign a covenant, the word is to cut a covenant, and they literally cut a covenant with sacrificial animals. Law offices would be a lot different today if that was the case, right? It would be something. So I'm glad we don't do that anymore. But this covenant is the sort of groundedness for Abram that this is real. And a little nod to Father John, guess how God shows up to make this covenant, right? God is a spirit, so how does God show up? God shows up a little bit like the story of Moses later on with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He shows up in a smoking fire pot. Isn't it great? We've got these fire pots. We can picture this fire pot floating alongside Abram as they seal the deal and make this covenant. But I want to go back a step, because before that covenant, Abram was grouchy. He was lamenting. "What have you done for me, God? You said I was going to be a great nation. Where is my great nation?" He was lamenting. He was lamenting that difference between the hoped-for future and the present reality. And I gotta say, I really resonate with Abram. Because if I look around at the world today, I do not always see that promised land, right? I don't see the hoped-for future. I see a big mess. I see things that are extremely troubling and fear-inducing and grief-making. I see a world that is still so broken, so sad, and so difficult. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann talks about lament as a great theme of the Hebrew scriptures. For Brueggemann, this is a hallmark of the people of Israel. They are always lamenting. He says there's 150 psalms in the Bible, and about one-fourth of them, 25% of those psalms, are psalms of lament. We're not always as familiar with those psalms because they don't make it into Sunday mornings usually. We tend to pick the happy psalms. Rejoice in the Lord always, right? We don't do the ones like, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's one, Psalm 88. It's a real downer. It ends with, and darkness is my only companion, right? But I love those psalms because they express something deeply honest and real. The lament about how broken our lives often are. Because we face problems just as the people of Israel did so long ago, just like Abram did. We face that gap between the hoped-for future and the present messed-up reality. And sometimes all we can do is lament, to express ourselves to God in sighs too deep for words. Brueggemann says that in our modern quick-fix culture, we have lost the capacity for lament. We want everything now, right? I love Amazon Prime. Now I know Amazon Prime is terrible for the workers, it's terrible for the environment, and I still love it because I can click a button on my computer and the next day I get what I want. I mean, this is a quick fix. Someday, they're saying, I could even get it within the day. Like a drone is gonna come over my house and it's gonna drop the jelly beans or new shoes or new shirt or whatever it is I absolutely need it almost within the hour. Can you imagine that? That is quick fix life. I mean, that is so exciting. But you know what? That's not how real life often is. Oh yeah, I can get my jelly beans that quickly. But I can't get the things that really matter. I can't get a broken relationship fixed by Amazon Prime. That doesn't happen overnight. I can't handle through a quick fix a difficult diagnosis that I or a loved one gets from the doctor, or a marriage that's falling apart, or a child that's going off in the wrong direction, or the stock market, or the invasion of Ukraine, or inflation, or the prices at the pump. I can't fix any of that stuff. I can't solve it with the click of a mouse. I can't solve it by any action that I can take. And so I feel helpless. And that is a terribly uncomfortable place to be, isn't it? Terribly uncomfortable to know how powerless we are about the things that matter the most to us. Brueggemann says the antidote is to return to that tradition of lament, because lamenting is not just moaning and groaning. It's a kind of sacred moaning and groaning. It's why we sing our Lenten hymns in a minor key. People always say to me, oh, Father Eric, can you stop singing those dirges? And I say to you, no, we will keep singing those dirges. Not all the time, but it's important to have the minor key so that when the major key comes, we really rejoice. Important to live in lament and to rest in that uncomfortable place of powerlessness, because it turns us back to God. It returns us to the fact that in our powerlessness, we have a relationship, an unbreakable, unshakable relationship with the God who has made us and the entire world, the God who is working to bring about greater things than we can ask or imagine. And yes, it takes time. Abram was 74 years old when God said he was going to be the father of a great nation. He was 99. When that promise was fulfilled. I can't even wait one day for my Amazon Prime. Abram waited 25 years for God's promise to be fulfilled. How was he able to do that? How was he able to believe? He believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Where did he find the capacity to believe? It came from that deep relationship with God, from walking through the really gross split up animals, knowing that God was with him, that God's promise was real. I think about lament in St. Paul's epistle, lamenting the fact that the Philippians have been pulled aside by false teachers, right? Paul is lamenting that. And then there is Jesus preparing to walk into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus coming down the Mount of Olives. I have a vivid picture in my mind from our pilgrimage of walking down the Mount of Olives. There's a little church, a beautiful 19th century Italian church, Dominus Flevit, Jesus Wept. It is the church where they think Jesus stood and looked out at the panorama of Jerusalem and said these words from the gospel, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I yearned to draw you together like a mother hen and her chicks, and you would not." Lament. Jesus is lamenting the terrible brokenness of this holy city. Jesus is lamenting that the people who should have welcomed this message with such joy, like all human beings, ran away. Like, have you ever tried to chase chickens? I mean, it's hard to keep them going the same direction. Those chickens go everywhere. We are those chickens, I gotta tell you. We keep going every which way, running away from the very arms of God who yearns to embrace us. And so Jesus, the Son of God, the awesome ruler of the universe with all power and authority given to him, is powerless, helpless to change the course of events. And so Jesus laments. We need some lamenting today, I think. Lamenting over the brokenness of our own lives and the lives of the world. But not lamenting that has no purpose. A lamenting that draws us back into the arms of our loving God. A lamenting which reminds us of the hope that we still have, that God is in charge, that God loves us, that God is with us, that God is in, under, with, and through this entire broken world. And that in that lamenting and that hope, we are renewed in the covenant relationship with God. A covenant that was established in creation, renewed with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their families, that was expanded with Moses, that was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. That covenant relationship which assures us that we are safe in the loving embrace of our God. May we hold on to that as we lament the state of the world. May we lament as people of hope, of faith, with confidence to do the work that we have been given to do. Not to change the world necessarily, but to control the things that we have control over, to live patiently and faithfully, and to do what we can, where we can, as people of hope. And we have that spirit, the faith of Abraham, the faith and the life of Jesus and all those who have come after. And may in us that flame of God's fiery love be ignited and renewed in us today and always. Amen.